Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Mark chapter 11. I'd like to share with you the faith of God tonight. In Mark chapter 11, let's get here, Matthew, Mark, beginning in verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry," speaking about Jesus Christ. "And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee thereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." I remember hearing this verse of scripture a long time ago. It was wonderful the way it was taught to me. And you go down to verse 20, and it says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith to them, Have faith in God. Verse 23, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Now, if you give me a chance, and hold your knives until the end of the teaching, I'm going to teach you what this verse means. The problem that we have had with this verse is the same problem that we have had with other sections of Scripture. What we do is that we forget what we were taught many years ago on how the Word interprets itself. And the Word interprets itself in three major ways in the Scriptures. The Word interprets itself in the verse. We've learned this. The Word interprets itself in the context. And the Word interprets itself in previous usage, where it's been used before. Now, as regards to how it interprets itself in the verse, there are three subcategories of that. In the verse, that a word or words must be interpreted in light of biblical meaning or in light of what the words meant at the time of the translation. The second category is that any one verse must be in harmony with all Scripture relating to the identical subject. Not similar, identical. And the third one is that, this is in the verse now, that one scripture may not tell all the details. Other scriptures may add to it, but they are not allowed to contradict. So, what we're going to use when we look at Mark 11 is we're going to look at the context. And we're going to look at where it's been used before. In Mark chapter 11, in verse 20, it says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." So the context that we're looking at right here is the cursing and the withering of the fig tree. Now we have something called an extended context, which is that which surrounds the immediate context. The extended context is that it's Sunday, the 11th of Nisan. Now, Jesus cursed the fig tree on Saturday, the 10th of Nisan. This was also the weekly Sabbath. And this was also when he entered into Jerusalem for the second time. And as he went back to Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, Saturday, the weekly Sabbath, he went with two animals. The first time he came in on Friday, the 9th of Nisan, he went with one. When he went back on Saturday, he went back in with an ass and a colt, a foal of an ass. They placed their garments on the ass and on the colt, and then they set him on the ass. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down palm branches and strawed them in the way. Now, according to Exodus chapter 12, the Passover lamb was chosen on the 10th of Nisan and was to be kept. With the masses of Jerusalem looking on, Jesus was selected as God's Passover lamb. He then went in and he cleansed the temple for God's Passover. On the second entrance, he did this. He went into the temple of God. He cast them out that sold and bought in the temple. Then he overthrew the changers, the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold. He then taught the people, healed the people, and returned to Bethany with his disciples to lodge at Lazarus' house. The scribes and the chief priests, when they saw what he did, they sought how they might destroy him because they feared him. But all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Thus ended the 10th of Nisan, the second entry into Jerusalem, where Jesus came as a king. In his first entry, he came in judgment. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. And in the morning. And in the morning. This is talking about the 11th of Nisan. The 10th of Nisan was his second entry. He cursed the fig tree. He did all those things I told you he did. Then he went back to Bethany to sleep. Now he's coming back to Jerusalem for a third time. And it says in verse 20, and in the morning. So you see the context now. You understand. We have the complete context. As they passed by. You see the word they? This wasn't just Jesus and Peter. This was Jesus and Peter and his disciples. As they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered. What? When did he curse it? The day before. The 10th of Nisan. Okay, now it's the 11th. And he's saying, Master, the tree that you cursed yesterday is withered away. Verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, the first problem that presents itself with this verse, we're going to find out, is that we hadn't adhered to context in understanding the verse. The second problem that presents itself with the verse, why we can never understand this verse, is because we never understood the word faith. Now I want you to look at your Bible carefully and read it with me in context this time, in common sense. Mark 11, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, Behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. This is the first problem. One of the first problems in the verse. If you read your marginal reading, the marginal reading says, have the faith of God. Now, having the faith of God and having faith in God are two different things. The biggest distinction is that when you have faith in God, it puts the work on you and what you have to do. When you have the faith of God, it puts the work on God and what He does for you. That's the biggest distinction. The first part of verse 22 says, and Jesus answering. See it? Mm-hmm. The word end, before the word Jesus, and Jesus answering, the word end, A-N-D. The word end is a conjunction. It's a conjunction. Now, the word end, A-N-D, in its core meaning, it means to indicate an additional thing, to indicate an additional situation, or to indicate an additional fact. That's what it means. So in response to Peter's statement, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away, Jesus is now going to respond to that statement. Jesus is going to respond and indicate to all present, not just Peter, but everyone who's there, something additional. And he does this by using the word end. Jesus is going to take the opportunity to teach and to expound to them additional truths with regard with what is going on with the fig tree situation. Jesus' response to Peter, who said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. His response to Peter was, have faith in God. However, it's not have faith in God. The text says, have the faith of God. The Bible in basic English says, have God's faith. The Douay version says, have the faith of God. Young's literal translation translates it, have faith of God. Have the faith of God. So the verse should have never said, have faith in God. The verse reads, have the faith of God. Now just follow me. Have the faith that comes from God. Or have the God kind of faith. Now remember the context. Jesus is responding to Peter's statement. His statement, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus' response is to take time and to teach all that are present about the faith of God. And specifically, he tells them that they need to have this kind of faith, that they need to have the faith of God. Have the faith of God, he says to them. Because if they have this kind of faith, the faith of God, they too will be able to say unto a mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And if they don't doubt in their heart, but believe the things which they say, they shall come to pass, and they shall have whatsoever they say. He continues to explain and expound to them that they need to apply the same truth to prayer. Not intercessory prayer or daily prayer, but praying with the faith of God. And this I know because he uses the words, you shall have them. Whatsoever you pray for, you shall have them. Shall have them, absolutely. That means it will absolutely come to pass. And the only way you can guarantee something will absolutely come to pass is that when God is involved in it. Jesus said in verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, let me insert, that if you have the faith of God, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith it. And therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, if you have the faith of God, believe that you receive them, and you shall absolutely have them. Now this is where we miss it. We take verse 23 and 24 out of context, and then we introduce something which some teach and call the law of believing. Now, I'm not saying this in disrespect, okay? I'm just showing you the greatness of what the Word of God teaches, and when I just give me a chance to finish. We teach the law of believing as if believing in and of itself is a power that appropriates results for saint and sinner alike. That's what we teach. Whosoever believeth. This is not true. There are only two supernatural powers in the world. Only two. One is God, the other is the devil. Whenever and wherever something supernatural takes place and a spiritual power is manifested, this power, this spiritual demonstration of power, has its source from either the true God or the devil, and in some isolated cases, a combination of both. There are only two sources of spiritual power, no more, no less, only two. Any supernatural power that does not come from the true God does come from the devil. Mark 11:20 says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Would you agree that a fig tree withered away and dried up from the roots overnight is a manifestation of a spiritual power?
Yes.
Yeah. Why would you? Because that's not natural. You understand? Would you place that in the category of a supernatural manifestation?
Yes.
Why? Because it's not normal. It's clearly a supernatural manifestation. It's not a normal manifestation. Things like this don't normally happen according to the laws of the universe. Okay. Would you say that talking to a mountain and commanding it to be removed and cast into sea would be a demonstration of spiritual or supernatural power?
Yes.
Why? Because in and of themselves, a saint or a sinner, no man can believe hard enough to create the power with their mind or any other part of their body or soul to cast that mountain into the sea. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because how many sources of power are there in the world?
Two.
Only two. And anytime there is power manifested, and it's spiritual and it's supernatural power, it has to come from one or either of the sources. You understand? Man of himself, by his power of believing, cannot believe to create power to cast a mountain into the sea. Man of himself, by his power of believing, cannot create power to wither away a fig tree backwards and have it die backwards from the root up. Can't do it. Impossible. Can't do it. It's a law. Any spiritual or supernatural power that is manifested comes from the true God or from the devil. Let me put it another way. All spiritual power is either from God or the devil. That's it. All of it. Now here's where we miss it. The key is the context. Jesus answered, and he said unto them, have the faith of God. It says in here, have faith in God. It should have never said, have faith in God. It should have said what the margin said, have the faith of God, or the faith that comes from God. Now the question on the floor is, what is the faith of God? That's number one. And number two, how do we get it? Look at John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4. We're going to look at a familiar verse. Verse 24, the beginning of it. It says that God is what?
Spirit.
John 4:24a says God is spirit. Now, among the names that are attributed to God in Scripture, such as Father, Lord, Almighty, Ancient of Days, we see here in John 4:24 that God is also referred to by the name Spirit. God is Spirit. Okay? Spirit. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 7. Says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9. To another faith by the Spirit. Verses 8 and 9 says the Spirit gives the word of wisdom. It says the Spirit gives the word of knowledge. It says the Spirit gives faith. Now the Spirit, in verses 8 and 9, that is referred to there, is God. It's God. It's usage 1 in the Holy Spirit book. You can look it up on page 344. God gives faith. God gives word of wisdom. God gives word of knowledge. So it's God, according to 1 Corinthians 12, 9, who gives faith. Thus, the faith of God comes from God. And I'm not going to get into the genitive tonight, because that's a whole other teaching. And specifically, here in the context, we see that this faith that is talked about, that God gives, is called a manifestation. It's the manifestation of faith. All nine of the manifestations are energized in every believer by the Holy, capital H, capital S, Spirit, who is God. Receiving the Holy Spirit, page 177. All nine of them are energized in the believer by God. It's God who gives it, God who energizes it. The privilege of manifesting the nine supernatural operations in the church is determined by the Spirit, God. Receiving the Holy Spirit, page 169. Okay? So it's God who gives. God who gives faith, God who gives word of knowledge, God who gives word of wisdom. If he doesn't give it, you don't have it. So here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the faith that God gives is called a manifestation. It's the manifestation of faith. It's a manifestation of faith. According to the Receiving the Holy Spirit book, once again on page 281, we have this definition of the manifestation of faith, which he brackets believing. Faith, parentheses, believing, but it's not believing, it's faith. Faith is your operation of the God-given ability to believe for the impossible to come to pass at your command as a son to God by the use of the information you have received from him by revelation. Although this definition falls short of being completely accurate, and the only reason why it falls short is because doctor didn't understand the difference between faith and believing, it still has enough of the necessary elements to point us in the right direction once we are able to unravel the confusion about the word faith. Here it says that faith, the manifestation of faith, is your operation of the God-given ability to bring the impossible to pass. Let me read to you that again. Faith, the manifestation of faith, is your operation of the God-given ability to bring the impossible to pass. Would you agree that a tree dying overnight and backwards is in the category of the impossible?
Yes.
Yes.
How about the casting of a mountain into the sea?
Yes.
How about whatsoever you pray for absolutely coming to pass?
Yes. Yes.
Clearly, the withering of the fig tree overnight and the casting of a mountain into the sea would require the manifestation of faith to bring the impossible to pass, right? And that's exactly what the Gospel of Mark is teaching us. Now go back to Mark and look at it again. Chapter 11, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, what did he just say? Have the faith of God. If you have the faith of God, verily I say unto you that whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be removed, such and such and so forth and so on. You see, Jesus is teaching them once again. And two of the keys that Jesus is teaching them is number one, you got to have the faith of God. This is God's part. And number two is that you can't have doubt in your heart when you believe for things to come to pass, because this will disrupt the faith of God's operation. He's teaching them that when they operate the manifestation of faith, they can't doubt. For if they do, this doubt will obstruct and prevent the operation of this manifestation. They need to believe and doubt not. He goes on to tell them that the same principle applies to their prayers. Now, where do we have an example in God's Word of this exact truth that Jesus is teaching them about? Look at Matthew chapter 14. Show it to you. My question is this. Where do you have an example in God's Word that he's teaching them when they operate the manifestation of faith, they can't doubt, because if they doubt, this will obstruct and prevent the operation of this manifestation. They need to continue to believe and doubt not in order for the manifestation to work. Where's that example? Matthew 14 is one, verse 29. 14:29. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, 14:29, he walked on the water to go to what?
Jesus.
Would you agree that walking on the water would require a manifestation of faith to bring the impossible to pass?
Yes.
Absolutely. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little what?
Faith.
Wherefore didst thou what?
Doubt.
Because the teaching was in Mark 11 that if you got the faith of God and you believe and doubt not, you could say to the mountain, go ahead. That's what he was teaching them. The faith of God was what God supplies. The believing and the doubting not is that which you have to mix with it in order to accomplish the impossible. Peter mixed it in the beginning. But then when he looked sense knowledge-wise, he began to what? And the exact thing that Jesus warned them of happened. What happened? It stopped the manifestation dead in its tracks. And Peter began to what?
Sink.
He began to sink. This is what happens when you doubt. This is what happens when you don't believe. But the doubting and the not believing is not the power. It's your portion, it's your part, but it's not the power. The manifestation of faith is what the power is. Jesus said, have the faith of God. The faith of God is a supernatural faith. It's a spiritual faith. And when we have God's faith that He energizes in us, as we believe and act, we will have those things we desire in accordance with that faith and God's will. The same morning, Sunday, the 11th of Nisan, at a different location, Jesus met up with another fig tree. Look at Matthew 21. Same day. They are not identical, but they are similar situations. Matthew 21, verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said to it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, the tree, what? Withered away. Presently, immediately, not the next day, immediately, right in front of everybody, the tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus, again, in response to how soon the fig tree has withered away, takes the opportunity to teach them and says unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have what? Faith. Faith. And doubt not, you should do which is fig tree, but also you say on this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and whatsoever things you do in prayer, ask you for the second time that morning. He teaches them the same principle. He teaches them about the faith of God. He said, if you have faith, whose faith? Man's faith? Can man's faith make a tree withered away just like that? How many powers are there?
Two.
Supernatural power. If it's a manifestation of supernatural power, it's got to come from the source. How many sources?
Two.
God or who?
Devil.
Can man in and of himself by believing muster up power to wither a fig tree?
No.
What kind of faith is Jesus talking about? The faith of God. The manifestation of faith. Once again, he's teaching them. And what? Doubt not. Whose part is the doubting? Man.
Yep.
Man's got to believe. He can't doubt. God's faith. Why do I know it's God's faith? Because it's a manifestation of spiritual power. The fig tree withered like that immediately. And there's only two sources of spiritual power. See, this is how simple it is. There's no weakening out of this. It's that simple. There's only two sources. And if I'm manifesting spiritual power, it's either coming from God or the devil. You understand? Or a combination of two in certain cases. You see, it's not your believing that is the source of the power that produces the results. That is not true. That is a lie. That is a misunderstanding. There is no power in believing in and of itself. Because if you're going to manifest spiritual power, if you're going to manifest supernatural power, the only two sources that there are in the world is God or the devil. It is not your believing that is the source of the power that produces the result. It is believing on the word of God. You believe that God will provide the result. You believe and trust Him to supply. You don't believe to produce it independently of Him because you have power from believing because of the law of believing. There is no power. There is none. What Jesus was teaching them that Sunday morning, He was teaching them about the faith of God, the manifestation of faith. He was teaching them that the source of the power was God, and that once they had faith, have the faith of God, or have faith. Once they have that faith, as they believed and doubt it not, they would be able to operate that manifestation of faith and see that mountain removed or that tree withered or whatever happened. I'll read it to you once again. Mark 11:22. In answer to the statement, the tree, it's withered. Jesus answered and said unto them, you got to have the faith of God. Because if you have the faith of God, I say unto you, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea. As long as you don't doubt in your heart and you believe, you shall have whatsoever you say come to pass. Why? Because of what you say? Because you believe? No. Because you have the faith of God. That's why. That's why. Therefore I say unto you, so forth and so on. Now, in all fairness, when you don't understand that there's a difference between the word faith and the word believing, and they are two distinct and different terms, it is perfectly logical to assume that verses 23 and 24 is an expansion of verse 22. Because if you lump believing in with faith, you just think he's expounding on faith, on believing. Because to you, believing in faith means the same thing. You understand? So then you can teach about the law of believing. I can see where you can get messed up like that. But clearly, what he's talking about is manifestation of faith. What he's talking about is bringing the impossible to pass by the operation of the Spirit of God, the manifestation of faith. There's no arguing that. But what people have done is they have taken this whole believing thing, and instead of distinguishing when you have the faith of God, you can do this, just believe and doubt not. They take it as it's believing that does it and don't doubt, and they are trying to appropriate supernatural results. They are trying to bring forth spiritual manifestations by believing. And you can't do it. You can't do it. Is there believing in a supernatural manifestation? Is it involved? Absolutely. Is doubt not a necessary part in bringing forth a supernatural manifestation? Absolutely. Absolutely. But is believing and not doubting the source or the power that brings forth that supernatural manifestation? Absolutely not. Do you know what brings it forth? The faith of God. The faith that God energizes. You understand? Do you see how simple that is? It's simple. Now, what about believing? Are there valid points to believing, to heart believing? Absolutely. Is there positive believing? Absolutely. Is there a negative believing? Absolutely. See? Should we teach people how to believe positive and believe for good things? Absolutely. Absolutely. We should teach them about negative believing and the effects that it'll have on our everyday life. Because believing does affect our everyday life when we get up and we think the way we think. But believing is simply a necessary component in order for you to manifest the power of God. It is not our responsibility. We are not the source of the power. Do you understand?
Right.
Our responsibility is to interact with God. Our responsibility is to believe His word. Our responsibility is to doubt not that which He gives us. Believing is not the power itself apart from God. You can believe until the cows come home, and you won't manifest any power in your life unless it's empowered by one of the two spiritual sources of power. You can't do it. See? And this is where people get in trouble. They think that if they can believe hard enough, or that they're believing wrong and they got to correct their believing, that when they get everything right and they get everything straight and they believe hard enough, they're going to bring into manifestation a spiritual something. And you can't do it. You can't do it. You're in two different realms. Believing is in the realm of the mind. Even if it's heart believing, it's in the realm of body and soul. See? Saint or sinner cannot believe to bring, say unto a mountain, be thou removed. Simply because I say unto you, it's the great law of believing works for saint and sinner alike. Can't do it. You need to have power. You need to be able to tap into that power. You need to be able to have that power energized within you in order to produce that spiritual manifestation. You need to believe that. You need not to doubt. You need to act. You're the radio. You understand? You're the receiver. When the voice comes over the radio, okay, that's coming from the power. Because the power's given it. Okay? You in and of yourself as the radio cannot believe to produce the voice. You understand? You got to be turned on. You got to be tuned in. You got to be ready. You got to have the volume up. But you are not the power. You are not the music. You are simply the receiver who produces, who manifests the music, who manifests the voice. You understand? Same thing. Believing is necessary. Doubt not is necessary. Believing is not the power. Doubting not is not the power. The power is the faith of God. You got it? Mm-hmm. And that's the truth and the biblical accuracy of Mark chapter 11. Mark 11 wasn't an expansion of believing and faith, because in his mind, and praise God for him, but in his mind, believing was faith, and faith was believing. And when you don't see the distinction, you can't possibly understand Mark 11. Because they're both the same word. They're both means they both the same thing. But they're not the same. Because if you're going to do what it says is possible to do in Mark 11, I guarantee you, you got to be operating some spiritual power to do it. And believing doesn't produce spiritual power. You understand? It doesn't produce spiritual power. It works with spiritual power. It allows you to operate spiritual power, but it is not the power. It is not the power. You got to believe. You don't doubt. But the power comes from God, if it's the true God and you're operating these kind of manifestations. Amen? Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thanks for the simplicity of it and the clearness of it, Father. Without a doubt, how simple it is, Father. Thank you that we can continue to learn and allow you to teach us and allow you to energize this power in us, Father, as we believe and doubt not. And it's in his precious name I pray. Amen.